The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You're welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. Yes, Fionn Davenport is with me with an ultimate guide to where, Fionn?
To Gothenburg, Kieran. Gothenburg.
I've been to Gothenburg, Fionn.
Have you?
No.
I was just there. I was there.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
I was there for a couple of days last week. Yeah.
Well, what did you think of it?
I loved it. I didn't know what to expect. It was my first visit, and Sweden's second city definitely made a good impression on me. You know, this is the home of Volvo, the Ace of Base, and one member of ABBA, Bjorn.
Welcome to Gothenburg, home to a quarter of ABBA.
Actually, curiously, before I start telling you what I thought were my highlights, what impressed you the most?
Well, you see, now this is where I have to admit I didn't really do an awful lot because I was there for an event. I was there for the European Athletics Championships in 2006, possibly.
Oh, right.
Leon in Gothenburg in 2006. And in and around then. So I just went to the athletics stadium and watched athletics for a couple of days, which was absolutely brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. But didn't see an awful lot of the city as a result. Now, my memories of the city, though, were there was this kind of central plaza place.
On the canal. I was
impressed by. Yes, that's right. And there was very good public transport, these kind of trolleys.
Yes.
Trolleys?
Yep.
Yes. That's it. Trolleys, canals, and athletics, Fionn. That's okay. How I would sum up Gothenburg.
Well, minus the athletics, I would mirror that. I would echo that sentiment. Very good integrated public transport system that gets you around the city. Now, it's not a particularly huge city. It's around 600,000 all in. The city centre is kind of divided between that central core that you talked about, so along the canals with the elegant buildings, etc., etc. And then these gentrified reimagined neighbourhoods of Haga and Line. And so Haga is, like, if you're going, I would strongly encourage anyone to spend time in Haga. So it's like this grid of low-rise timber-clad houses. And so, like, the shopping street, the main shopping street is called Haga Nyaten or Nygaten. I don't know any Swedish. but the area, as you'd imagine, used to be similar to Dublin's own Temple Bar. It used to be the haunt of sailors, dockers, prostitutes, street urchins, but it's been gentrified and now it's all kind of 30-something creatives, advertising companies and really, really kind of nice cafes. So there's a place called the Hagabade, which is originally a bathhouse that was built for the poor, but now in keeping with the gentrified nature of the neighbourhood, it's like this really fancy spa with Roman baths, Pilates classes, and even its own brand of luxury cosmetics. But Haga is where you'll find the classic cinnamon bun, which is Gothenburg's great contribution to the culinary arts.
So a Hagabade, which I assume is just the Haga baths,
yes,
it says or something. Is it like the ones in Budapest?
It's not as old as the ones in Budapest, and it wouldn't be as elegant. It's much cooler. It's got that Scandi cool vibe, but nice. Very, very nice. The other neighbourhood that's been, and this one more is more kind of 19th century tenement blocks and these big wide avenues, is called Line. And it's named after, I had to Google this, Carl von Line, who is the Swedish father of modern taxonomy.
Aye, of course, yeah.
Yeah, indeed, of course.
More reflection, Fionn, on your education.
It really is. Remember, I left school in the 80s. And this is the place for Gothenburg nightlife. So if you want to experience it, the best of what the city has to offer in terms of the night enjoyment, this is the place to go. And then kind of in Line, there's also, it's Slottskogen Park, which is this huge park. And like I, when I was there, the weather was glorious. So it's just lovely to kind of just go for a nice walk. The other thing about Gothenburg, now I didn't get to see any of these, I'm going to confess, but someone had given me a list of top class museums. So the art museum or the Kunstmuseum is meant to be amazing. And like on the top floor, there's like a whole room devoted to Picasso. And then next, it's all like all the impressions like Renoir, Monet, Degas, Chagall, Cezanne, Gauguin, like millions of great art. Plus, there's a whole room to Scandinavian masters, including Edvard Munch. So that's your art museum. Then there's this one here. If like, I don't know, are you a fan of World War II stuff or Cold War stuff at all?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, hooked to my veins.
Yeah. Are you really? I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
No, I know. I get that a lot. I was in Hamburg. You know, I don't know if you know this film, but I run marathons sometimes.
Do you know how I know this? Because you tell me every 15 minutes.
So I was in Hamburg. Actually, I only ran 5K. But anyway, they have an amazing kind of Cold War museum on a GDPR U-boat, an East German U-boat.
GDR U-boat. A GDPR, like
GDPR,
like
your
data protection U-boat, was it?
I saw Jess Kelly earlier, and every time I see her, I just think GDPR. Anyway,
there you go.
What was in my head?
Yeah,
a GDR U-boat. Yeah, it was incredible. I love it. So I love all that stuff. Anyway, so tell me about it in Gothenburg.
The Aeroseum. It's So basically, this is the top aviation museum. So, okay. I'm going to give you, I don't know if you're good with measurements, but 22,000 square meters of underground halls that you literally could like steer a fighter jet through. It's like massive. And it was excavated in the 50s and it was part of an old now kind of closed Air Force base. It became a museum about 15 years ago. So they've got every single kind of, from Saab fighter jets, search and rescue helicopters, model planes, spacesuits. You can get into the cockpit of a chopper that saw action in Afghanistan. You can find, so they have like this mocked up 1980s hotel room. So for spy stuff, and you can go into it and find hidden spy cameras inside. So that's great if you're a kid.
Oh, that's cool.
But even if you're an adult, it's kind of cool. Yeah, I agree. You know, learn to spell your name in Morse code, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really, really good. And in terms of just appeal, it's second only to Volvo World.
Volvo World.
Well, I'm calling it Volvo World. So it's, they have like this amazing museum about 13 kilometers west of Gothenburg. So the World of Volvo, it's called now. It just opened. So they had a museum, but they've just reopened it earlier this year. And it's the biggest new attraction in all of Sweden. And it's in downtown Gothenburg. So like it's so I saw it from the outside. OK, when you look at it from, it's this mammoth kind of round structure made of steel. And it's like with, you know, the full, it's designed with a wheel, the Volvo badge, an engine cylinder, whatever you think it is. And inside is a whole, it's a bit like BMW Museum. I talked about that in Munich.
Yeah.
So similar to that, it's got like everything to do with Volvo and like the whole history of Volvo. And if you like cars, this is really interesting because look, I think most car aficionados will appreciate that, you know, Volvo. You know, it's a good car. I've never had a Volvo, but I'd like to. Anyway, the other thing, it's got a massive amusement park called Liseberg. I didn't go there, but that was told if I had the time, I'm like, I'm going to go to an amusement park and go on roller coasters. No, I don't think so. But Gothenburg is brilliant for museums and they really invest time and effort into creating museums that appeal to everybody from like, you know, aging cynics like you and I to little kids full of wonder in their eyes.
Tell me about some of the other things then to do around town in between your museum visits.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's, what were you doing? Like, I loved eating. Like, so I ate a lot in Haga. And
people say that about you.
Yeah, they do. I love eating. So look, would it surprise you is that local delicacies include herring, obviously. Pickled herring on nackebröd, crisp bread, is as Swedish as it gets. There's princess cake, which is this really, really tasty sponge cake in green marzipan. Prawn sandwiches, which is a local favourite in Gothenburg. Oysters. And so they've been harvested along the Gothenburg coast. So they're native to that coastline. And then what I mentioned earlier, cinnamon buns. I put up a post on Instagram the other day of a cinnamon bun that actually is the tastiest treat, the sweet treat I've ever eaten in my life. It was sensational.
No way.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And I'm a fan. I'll give you like, you can earn my everlasting loyalty with a really good chocolate eclair, but this cinnamon bun was superb.
And are they kind of ubiquitous, these types of cinnamon buns?
Yeah, and so there's like, so much as like the pint of Guinness here is, in Dublin, is considered like, you know, the pub that, there's those destination pubs that go, oh, they do an amazing pint. Similarly, there are cafes that do really, really good cinnamon buns. And so like the big giant one, which is the Haga Bulan, which is a huge one that you can tear apart and share. So Husaren Cafe is a place that I went to, or Cafe Hebe Lele, which is in Haga. And again, it's because Haga is full of indie shops, like little secondhand clothes shops and things like that. And in between, you can sit down. And as I said, the weather was lovely. So we were sitting outside just kind of enjoying a nice coffee and these cinnamon buns. It was gorgeous. One of the things I didn't get a chance to do because I didn't have enough time was to take a ferry to the islands, both north and south of Gothenburg, which friends of mine who are regular visitors to Gothenburg tell me is a brilliant weekend getaway activity, and locals do it all the time. And there's a whole bunch of them that you can go. You can go an overnight on some of them, but, or you can just go and take a day trip and go to the beach. And the ferry from the port or from the docks is great. So the next time I go to Gothenburg, I'm definitely going to try and get out there.
So this is a kind of, on the other side of Sweden, this is a real kind of popular summer thing, isn't it? That people, the kind of the well-heeled around Stockholm might have little spots on kind of islands out in the Baltic.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Gothenburg is in the southwest, so it's on, and it's like in that part, I was trying to figure out, so, you know, like next stop Denmark, and then if you go a little north, you're up towards Oslo and Norway. So it's really kind of in this lovely nexus. And as far as I can tell, is you can get ferries to everywhere. But just, I mean, the islands, which are just immediately offshore in this archipelago of islands that dot the waters around the city, are meant to be amazing. I'm highlighting them here despite not having been to them, so probably I'm not doing them justice at all. Look, I was only there for a limited amount of time. I loved walking around. It's an eminently walkable city. I went, what was the other thing that I did I liked is, there's, oh yeah, the Stadsmuseum, which is if you want like to learn about the city's history, so everything. Oh yeah, that's another thing. So they have this exhibit on Viking history, okay? Now,
yeah.
Whereas, say, Dublinia is very much kid-friendly and it kind of sells the story of the Vikings in a tonally neutral way. Here, it's so gloomy, like really, really dark. It's a bit like that, what was the name of that film? Northman, wasn't it? The one that came out a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
That was like half a horror. It was so grim. So similar, like the vibe here, like the Viking history, because obviously, you know, that's where they came from, is really gloomy. Like you're like, oh my God, like I'd hate to have lived in Viking times.
Oh, miserable.
Yeah.
But what, Fionn, if you had to live in any other period of history other than now, when would you have picked?
Turn of the century, Vienna.
Oh, wow. There's a man who's thought about this question.
What, me? No. I have thought about it. Turn of the century, Vienna. Yeah, secessionist Vienna. That's the period where, like, although mind you, I joke and say, oh, you know, because you might meet a young Sigmund Freud, or you might, you know, hang around with like the, you know, the great culture makers of late 19th century Europe. But the chances are, I'd be working, I don't know, as like a road sweeper or something, and I'd never get to meet anybody.
No, and you die in a trench 14 years later.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'd be like, and I'd be dead by the end of August 1914. I wouldn't even make it into September. Yeah.
No.
That's the period, yeah, for me, is that turn of the century Vienna.
So Gothenburg, like you're quite a bit north of kind of the bridge into debt. You're probably hours, but you're still not a million miles away from lots of other things to do. You've got the lakes, you've got those huge lakes, inland lakes, not too far away.
That's right. And also as well as, and I was surprised that the train to Stockholm is 3 hours and 20 minutes. Like on the map, you're going, it's really close. It's not. And I don't know. I mean, someone correct me. I don't think they have high speed rail, but it's quite a hike. But it's meant to be a great train ride. So like I would, and oh yeah, I should mention how to get there because I flew via Amsterdam on KLM and which is, frankly, it's not the easiest place to get to. So you could go from London and then take a Ryanair flight from London to get you straight to Gothenburg, or you could fly into You could fly direct into Stockholm and then get the train. One way or the other, you're making two stops. There's no...
Okay, there used to be a direct Ryanair flight, you know. And I know because in the noughties when I went, it was a direct flight. And I why I remember it always is it was, you know, this was back in the day when Ryanair maybe had a name for kind of finding the most out-of-town place they could land you and claim it was, you know, the nearest city, despite the city possibly being 2 hours away. Gothenburg was like, was that made manifest? We landed on an airstrip more than an airport, Fiona, is the only way to describe it. And our bags were all taken off and they were put onto the back of that little kind of carousel, not the carousel thing, but the little train of carriages, you know, that's pulled along by a little quad, effectively. And usually what happens is somewhere in the bowels of the airport, all of that gets thrown up onto a baggage carousel and then it appears before you. But not at this airport in Gothenburg. Gothenburg in inverted commas. It was probably in Norway. We stood in this barn and these huge big doors were pulled aside and the truck that had taken the thing straight off the plane just drove into the middle of it.
What?
Stopped. And we all had to go up and just take our bags off the back of the truck. That's how it worked. You just, it was like, claim your bag. There's your bags, folks. Get them. Get out. There's a bus outside to bring you into town. By the way, the bus into town takes 2.5 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so maybe flying through Amsterdam isn't that bad after
No, it's all. Not. And you know what? And it's only, so it's an hour from here to Amsterdam, then it's another hour to Gothenburg. And it's fine. And the airport's great. It's, look, and getting in from the airport, get the bus. I mean, you can get a taxi, but get a bus. As I said, the public transport system is brilliant. Trams, yeah. Buses, the lot. It's you know what it is? The highest praise I'll pay it is this. I wasn't there nearly long enough for my own kind of satisfaction, and I can't wait to get back.
Oh, that is a ringing endorsement of Gothenburg. Fionn Davenport, thank you very much. We'll talk to you at the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.